Father, as we come to your word today, Lord, I would ask that you would move me out of the way, move us out of the way, open up our ears to hear and understand what your word has to say. And Lord, I pray that you would change us from the inside out. Lord, all those things that we just sang about, that you would just remove all the furnishings from our life until it comes down to us on our relationship with you. Jesus, we are in desperate need of renewal and revitalization from you. We're in desperate need of the touch of your Spirit. We're in desperate need for you to rejuvenate and renew our hearts and souls. God, you know and you've seen all the battles we faced throughout the past years, through trials and temptations, the hardships. We need you. We need you, Jesus. And we proclaim this morning, Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is our banner. Lord, we put our hope and our trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As children can be dismissed this morning, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17 as we unpack the Lord is my banner. This is an awesome, very exciting, powerful passage of Scripture. Last week in our text, we saw that the Israelites were consumed with their feelings, their desires, and they had forgotten about the presence of the Lord. They said, "Is the Lord even among us?" They were complaining against God's established authority in Moses, and they were ultimately grumbling against the Lord. And they questioned whether or not God was really with them. God showed his mercy in providing the rock, Jesus Christ, who was struck in our place for our sinful grumbling, and provided water that leads to everlasting life. Oh, how I need that water. Oh, how we need that water. And so after God's miracle bringing water from the rock, God reveals another facet of who he is and puts the nail in the coffin of ever believing that God is not there. I know we all have days, if we're honest as believers, where we say, "God, where are you? Where are you, God? Where are you in the middle of this is what's going on in my life?" They were now, as the Israelites, facing an enemy, not just the enemy within their grumbling and themselves, but it was the enemy from without, and they have and they must place their trust in the Lord. And this is where God reveals to his people, "I am Yahweh, your banner." This means that God exists because he exists permanently as his people's flag, signal, standard, or beacon. It is a picture of God being our flag, fluttering in the wind in the face of the enemy. We see that great picture of men struggling to hold the American flag. We all love the concept of that picture. We are in a spiritual battle. We are not fighting against people, but against the spiritual enemy. And the flag that we are bearing is Jesus Christ. The one that holds, that we hold up, the one that was lifted up for us, is God's grace of being able to be in his presence. And our flag is in your face to the enemy. Reliant prayer to the Lord is the raising of the flag. Prayer seeking the face of God is the foundation of everything in our Christian lives. And when we break down that word, "The Lord is my banner," we're talking about he exists because he exists. But then when we come to the banner part, it is a flag or a sail. It's a token or a banner. And when we break that word down, it means to gleam from afar, to give a signal. It's to raise a beacon. And that day they were facing an enemy. And just so you know, Amalek, was a descendant of Esau. Esau we know as a deceiver. And who is the great deceiver? Satan himself, who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so as we read that passage this morning, later on, Moses writes this in regards to this situation that happens. But he says, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you came out of Egypt, how he attacked you on the way when you were faint, weary, cut off your tail, and cut off your tail, those who were lagging behind you, and he did not fear God. Therefore, when the Lord was your God was giving you rest from all your enemies around you in the land that the Lord your God has given you for an inheritance to possess, you will blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You shall never forget. The people of Israel were traveling in the desert. They were tired. Remember, they were thirsty. They were grumbling. They were complaining. They were weak, and God had just given them water. They were just starting to become refreshed. And then somebody who was of their own kindred and descendant, Amalek, from the descendant of Esau, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, comes and starts to cause trouble. Maybe he was afraid that they were going to take up all of his water supply or whatever it is. He had evidently built up a large group of people or a family. And so that is when God appeared and said, I am your banner and I'm going to enable you. And we see that linked in the New Testament to have the victory over the evil one. And the Lord is our banner, and we come to him in prayer. So we're going to look at the ABCs of the Lord being our banner. So first of all, we need to, if we're going to bend ourselves towards prayer, if we're going to raise the flag that God, Jehovah, is our banner, we must, first of all, align ourselves with the authority of Jesus Christ in prayer. Now, the Bible teaches he's the head of the church. Secondly, the B of the ABC is believing in community with the body of Christ in prayer. And last of all, we're going to look at the consecration to closeness of Jesus Christ in prayer, that intimacy that we can have with him. So let's begin by looking at aligning with the authority. As we look in verses 8 and 9, Amalek just appeared out of nowhere while they were tired, and he came and fought the Israelites at Rephidim. And remember, Rephidim was a place, supposed to be a place of rest or comfort. That's what the name Rephidim means. And do you know, when we get into a place of rest, when we are resting in Jesus Christ, and when we are trusting in him, that's when the enemy is going to come and attack. It is when we take steps of spiritual growth, of leaning on the Savior, that he is going to come in and attack. And so we must align ourselves with the authority of Jesus. Look what happened. Moses said to Joshua, go choose some men and go out and fight. And I, as the leader of the Israelites that God has appointed, will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And remember, the staff of Moses was the symbol of God's authority and leaning on his authority and putting our trust and faith in him. And so he says, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek while Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And why do you suppose, if this is about prayer, Moses went on top of the hill? Remember, in the valley of the hill, you have to keep in mind Amalek is attacking, and Joshua is appointing an army, and there they are, but every once in a while they can look back, and they can remember, the Lord is my banner. And all throughout Scripture, I just want to say, too, it talks about lifting holy hands to God. And in Timothy, it says, and as a commandment to the men in the church, especially as they pray, to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so that is a symbol of I am connecting with God's authority. I am putting my faith and my trust in him in prayer. And so think about this. Joshua, his name means Jehovah saves. Jehovah rescues. And so it's by no mistake that he is appointed as the leader of this army. And we come into the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself, his name is linked to Yahshua, the name Yeshua, the Messiah. And so there's all this symbolism here. So first of all, we must align through obedience to Christ as being our head. And that is difficult, isn't it? I don't always want to align myself with the authority of Jesus Christ. And I don't always want to bend to His will because I have different desires. I have different ways about me that I think are better than God's authority. But boy, is it always wrong. So we must align with the authority. We must align by firmly being fixed in God's authority. And when they're talking about they went and fought, that word fought means to devour. And we know the enemy comes to devour as a roaring lion, it says in the New Testament. We'll look at that scripture later. But it says Moses went to stand. In other words, he stationed and established himself in prayer. There's no better way to align ourselves in the authority of Jesus Christ is to station ourselves into a place of prayer. And as a church body, we can do all the programs and all the things that we want. We can try to please people as much as we possibly can. But until we align ourselves in prayer together with the Father, or with through the Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, connecting with God the Father. And so it's aligning by standing firmly fixed in that place. It's aligning by humbly going to battle under the leadership that God exercises His authority through. Now more than ever in society, we're seeing an uprising of anarchy as far as I'm going to stick it to the man. I'm going to go and protest on the streets. We don't need police. We don't need things. But you keep in mind, remember the New Testament teaches that God has established all authority. Outside, we're just talking even right now, outside the body of Christ, He's established leaders and governors and officials and police and things like that for our benefit. And even your boss at work or your teacher at school, God has established their authority. And so if we're going to humbly align ourselves under God's authority, we will humbly align ourselves under the authority of those that God has set up. And when we talk about in the body of Christ and in the church, God, through His grace, it says in Ephesians, has appointed pastors and prophets and teachers and the elders and the deacons, and He's given a structure in the church. And then when we think in the home, the husband is the head of the wife, all submitting to the authority of God. And as they submit to the authority of God, we submit to these leadership. And so when we're in a place of prayer, it brings us automatically to a place of humility. There's no room for rebelling or having the idea I'm going to stick it to the man. It is aligning ourselves in the authority of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, yeah, sometimes humans really mess things up badly when they're in authority. That's where we put our hands up when we say, the Lord is my banner. I go directly to Him as the head of the body of the church, and I call on His name. It says in Colossians, He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. And if we would stop and pause with some of the things that we might have agendas, whether it's between your relationship between husband and wife or kids at home or at church, and we say, wait a minute, I'm not the head. Jesus Christ is the head. He's the only one that can hold me together. That brings things back in alignment. Colossians 2 says, see that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. And when things go badly in our lives, we have to remember He is the head of all authority. And when He rules over His church, it rules in a different way over the world right now. But when He comes back, He will establish the same rule that He has over the church, over the whole world. and he is, will reign supreme forever. So we must align with the authority of Jesus in prayer. It's one thing to pray, but it's another thing to bring our hearts into submission to his authority. Have you ever prayed prayers before where you already have an agenda and you already have the answer for yourself, and so you pray in a way as to sort of coach God? You pray in a way as a God, I think this is the best way to go about it, and this is what I want, and then we pray until we feel like that God has told us that's what we're supposed to do, but we're not submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ in the proper channel. So, humbly, what we're saying about this morning is throwing away all the lights, the stage lights, all the contraptions and things and decorations are nice, and stained glass windows are nice because they point us to the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ. But none of that matters other than a heart that is a posture that's bowing down before the Savior, aligning with authority. In 1 Peter, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that in the proper time he might exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because, why, he cares for you. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. The adversary, your devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood through the world. So what is he saying there? All believers are going to be attacked at some point or another. And when we come into this spiritual warfare, it's coming to God in prayer, knowing that others are going through that. So we must align with authority. The B. So we've got our ABCs here. B is believing in community with the body of Christ. Look in verses 10 through 12. And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, can you picture Moses as the man of prayer? And did you notice that in all the other texts, and even when he complained in the last text, he went directly to the Lord? And it doesn't say that he went to God, but the whole thing is about being in a state of prayer before God and submitting to the authority. And so, believing in community with the body of Christ, God has placed us in the body, and he has called us to raise up our hands to God in prayer, first of all, as individuals. But then he also calls us to raise up our hands in prayers together. And we see the beauty of the picture here. Not only is it about leadership, but it's about the body of Christ. It's about someone who is holding his staff and saying, I believe in prayer and I believe in God. Will you come and join me in prayer? The body of Christ. And then it says he uses that word held there. It means to be high, actively to raise or to raise up, to offer up, to set up. And so Moses raised his hands, but it says whenever he put them down, he got tired, down in the battlefield, something happened. Now, there's a lot of you that maybe watch a football game during Super Bowl season, and you think that if you're doing this, that your team is going to win, right? You're cheering them on. This is so different because we're connecting with the God of heaven who hears our prayers together. And the beauty of this, it says Moses was weary, or he was heavy, he was laden, he was tired. And the body of Christ, you see through Aaron and Hur, come around. And by the way, they didn't have deodorant back then. Sometimes it gets pretty stinky when we gather around our brothers and sisters in prayer to the Lord, because the situations of our life are stinky, and some of them are sticky, and some of them are difficult, some of them are hard to navigate and deal with. So if you have to bring your deodorant, bring your deodorant. I mean, I don't know if Aaron and Hur said, well, we found these bushes out, and Moses, if we're going to hold your arms up, put that. No, they just came and held up his arms. They came and supported him as the body of Christ. And that's one of the gifts that God has given us in the church, of Jesus Christ being the head and the body of Christ being that place. Like these scriptures say, speak the truth in love, and we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which is equipped, and each part is working properly. And then in chapter 2, verse 18, he says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason in a sensual mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Now think about this beautiful picture, holding fast to the head. And when does my life end up in chaos? When do I start going into extraneous detail of all these things, like visions? He was talking to people that was like, I had a vision and the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. But where is our nourishment from? It's from connection with the head. Growth is from God. And so believing in community with the body of Christ. And there's something even more there that I want to point out. Did you notice that we sat in worship today? Now, I didn't know that that was going to happen. But notice what had to happen for Moses here. They put a stone, and when you look up the word underneath that, they built a stone, or they maybe made a seat for him. I don't know if they made a lawn chair out of stones or some primitive thing, but they put something there so that Moses could sit down, and they held up his hands, which means to sustain or keep fast and to follow closely. What were they doing there? They were building community. Building community is essential. So if we're not believing in community, if we're not believing in community with the body of Christ in prayer, if we're not meeting together to pray with the body of Christ, the church will be empty of power. The enemy will have some victories. And we know ultimately in the end Jesus is going to win. But the way to win the battle is to come together in prayer, to God in prayer, and to build community. Build a place for each other to sit and hold up each other's arms and to support each other in any way that we possibly can. And then we have the raising our hands to God in prayer in persevering steadfastness. They held them up. They kept doing it until sundown, it says in the end of verse 12. And Joshua overwhelmed or overcame Amalek, the people, by the sword. Community is steadfast. It's persevering. With all of our warts, with all of our ugliness, it is first coming to God in prayer. How many times have you thought, perhaps I haven't thought in that way. We think about community. We want friendships and we want connections with our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ here. But if it's not done with a focus on the Lord is my banner, it's not going to work. It's going to break apart. And in 1 John, he talks about walk in the light as he in the light, as he is in the light. And we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son covers us. When we walk in honesty, when we walk in truth, and the only way for us to be able to get to that place as humans on a daily basis, because the devil is constantly working to get us on his side of deception. He's working in the realm because Esau was deceptive. He wants us to get into the realm of deceptive. But the way to stay grounded and humble is to stay connected with our relationship with God in prayer. And you might say, well, I've been serving Jesus for a long time. Or, Pastor, you went to Bible school. It doesn't work without connecting with Jesus in prayer every day. It's going to fail. Believing in community with the body of Christ in prayer. I think in some extent, many of us in this room and perhaps others in the body, larger body of Christ in other churches, We have tried our best to build the church through programs and through things like that and through this and that, but prayer is the basis. The Lord is my banner. And last of all this, before we get to the scene, before the last of all, sorry, when the pastor says that, it's 1 Peter 4, verse 8. He says, keep loving. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And I was astounded at the language of this when I read this scripture again, which is in context of Exodus. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Do what Aaron and Hur did at that moment instead of complaining about why do we have to hold this guy's arms up? Why does he stink or whatever? Show hospitality. Each one has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. And so we all have gifts. It all comes from the strength that God supplies, and we use that for the glory of God. So we're believing in community. And last of all, we're consecration to the closeness of Jesus Christ in prayer. And I love how this passage wraps up. And we talk about the word consecrate, we're talking about being totally dedicated to worshiping God and devoted to His purpose. And so as we see in verse 13 on down, when Joshua overwhelmed Amalek, and then verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it to the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner, saying, the hand upon the throne of the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That means God is never going to stop fighting against the evil one. God is never going to stop fighting against the deceiver. That's why we have Ephesians chapter 6. He says, put on the full armor of God. But it's in that place of consecrating ourselves to the intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's saying, I will do nothing. My one thing and my one goal and my one biggest thing that I do and spend most of my time on is drawing near to Jesus Christ and making sure I recognize that. And so there's several things. First of all, we do that by memorizing it. The Lord then spoke to Moses and said, I want you to remember this. Remember the presence of God. Remember that I am your banner. And then he says, I want you to recite it to Joshua. Well, that seems a little bit redundant, doesn't it? Joshua was fighting the battle. He was coming in with the battle wounds and all that kind of thing. And God said, remind him, recite it to him. The Lord is my banner. And brothers and sisters, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your church, whether it's with your spouse, we need to recite to each other and remind each other constantly, the Lord's your banner. You're not your banner. Your spouse is not your banner. Your job is not your banner. Your material possessions are not your banner. All the things that we took, food is not your banner, although it feels good to relieve the pain. But God is my banner. He says, make a memorial, remember and recite. And then he says, build an altar. Now, we have little kneeler benches in our churches today, which are just a picture of the place that we need to be to thrive, connected to God in prayer. And we talk about building altars. We talk about killing something, right? When they would build a stone altar, they would sacrifice an animal on it. There's a whole lot of apes hanging over our lives that need to be put on the altar as we come to God in prayer. It's different for all of us. There's things that plague us. And I use the word ape because of Keith's sharing this morning. Those things don't belong in our lives. It's not the purpose we were created for. So even if you have to make an altar every week in your home, it's like, God, I did it again. Get back on your knees. God, I'm worrying again. Get back on your knees. God, I'm so overcome and overwhelmed with grief and disappointment. We get on our knees again. Things are not going as I thought that they were going to go in my life. We get back on our knees again and memorialize and recite and build an altar. And last of all, he says, the Lord is my banner, saying, a hand upon the throne of God. And we have this picture of Moses being connected with God in heaven, putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I have that, even that picture of the persistent widow that Jesus shares that doesn't give up praying. And then we think about that word. We boldly come to the throne room of grace to find mercy in our help in a time of need. While we have our feet planted on this unstable earth, while we're dwelling in sorrow, we're dwelling in grief, we're dwelling sometimes even in, we're just wore out and tired, and we're spiritually drained, and we're this drained, and whatever that drained. But I have one hand on the throne of God. And Hebrews says, I have an anchor that goes beyond the curtain into the Holy of Holies, and I can fix my eyes on Jesus, the hand of heaven, and practice His presence. Being in His presence, consecrating myself to the intimacy with Jesus Christ. And that is the beauty of this passage of Scripture. So we have the ABCs of the Lord is my banner. We first have to align ourselves with the authority of Jesus Christ in prayer. Secondly, we must believe together in community with the body of Christ in prayer. And last of all, make an altar. Consecrate ourselves to the one thing that is needed, sitting at the feet of Jesus in prayer. So I want to ask you today, and I ask myself the same question, because right now I might be answering the right answer, the Lord is my banner. But what about tomorrow when grief sets in? What about tomorrow when trouble sets in? What about tomorrow when there's a difficult situation at work, or a difficult person or a boss or somebody at school makes fun of you for your faith in Jesus Christ? What about then? That's the time when we say, I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to go to the throne room of grace, and I'm going to proclaim and recite and memorize and remember that the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. I want to ask the worship leaders to come. The banner for believers is coming to God in prayer and through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit. And this is a challenge to all of us here. What is your prayer life like? Have you put your flag in the closet? Is it time to get it out and say, the Lord is my banner? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for this passage of Scripture, and Lord, we humbly come before you and we say, we need help. For God, I see myself, and perhaps others in this room see themselves in the place of the Israelites, grumbling and complaining, overwhelmed with anxieties and fears, spiritually dried up. Lord, we come to you, the spring of living water. And would you teach us how to depend on you in prayer? Would you show us those areas, God, that we haven't surrendered to your authority? Would you show us how we've been neglecting seeking your face together in community? And would you show us and lead us to build an altar, to never forget you're the God who never leaves us or forsakes us. Lord, please help us in our unbelief. Please help us and grant us faith. The Lord is my banner. Can we stand together and say that together as we sing this song? The Lord is my banner. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my banner. Now let's say that as with all the exuberant when we say, love the Lord your God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord is my banner. One, two, three.
The Lord is my banner.
Amen.